Jan Pinnell with Ashy Witch Talk Radio. We've got another great show. Little problems getting started here. As usual, our outfit agencies like to mess with my lines and Skype, and so we usually have to use several different lines to keep this show on the air. So obviously there's something they don't want you to know about, but I think it's time for them to start working for humanity except for these elite groups or whatever they're doing. We've got some amazing events coming up at USETI. We've got Randy Kramer, Captain K from the Mars Project, and he presents his Psionic Boot Camp workshop September 25th here at the Sanctuary. And it goes to the 27th, and registration is now open. I'll be presenting a self-mastery and making contact with Tashina, and I believe she's an Apache wisdom keeper. She's been working a lot with the Hopi in a lot of different nations, and she's actually an Arcturian. She's way beyond a contactee. She's actually been genetically altered, so we'll have her come on and talk more about that. We'll have her on a show before the event, but amazing. I did some work with her before, and we took off and we went out of body and had some amazing contacts the last time we worked together, so it was an amazing event. If you want to find out more about that, just go to privateinvitationesetti.com. Again, that's privateinvitationesetti.com. You want to find out more about those events. The fires look like they're mostly out here. The smoke's gone. The skies are clear. And amazing sky watching. Last night was just phenomenal. The skies were crystal clear after the rains. And a lot of ships came over. Some really big ships came in nice and low last night. But we had quite a few people here watching it, and it was a pretty exciting evening. Getting my guest tonight, we've got Terje Wolfsberg, and he's the co-organizer with Ann Kristen Norman of the International UFO Conference in Norway. And we're going to be doing a Skype presentation there on October 2nd through the 5th. So that's going to be a fun event. And I really encourage our European listeners to take a look at their conference and join if you feel drawn to. You can find a link to their event on the homepage of our event website, again, privateinvitationesetti.com. And so we'll have that up on our site. And Terje's interest in UFOs and extraterrestrials began when he was 17 years old. Since then, he's retained his interest in the extraterrestrial issue as well as in alternative medicine, especially homeopathy. For many years, he was also a co-worker in the Share International, spreading information about the Masters of Wisdom and their emergence together with the leader Maitreya. In recent years, his passion has been sharing information about our galactic brothers and sisters. And he's also involved with Mission Rama. I'd like to find out more about that, too, as well. So without any further ado, I want to welcome Terje to the show. Terje, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, yes. Fine, thanks.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It looks like you've got quite a lineup there at this conference. I was looking at some of the people. You've got Mary Rodwell, who's amazing. I love Mary. She's a very good friend of mine. And then you've got a NASA whistleblower, Clark McKellen, coming up, and Freddie Silva, Dennis Roger, Binocla. I guess he's talking about a major case. Robert Hastings, Richard Lawrence, Rune Overby. I guess that's one time you could say if you had your day ruined, it'd be a good thing. but anyway, looks like you've got quite a lineup there, and I'm really looking forward to this event.
Fine, thanks. Yes. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, there has been lately a small change in the schedule of the line of speakers. We due to his ill health, Clark McClendon is not able to go on Skype, interview on Skype. And Corey Good has said he wants to participate, but we haven't got the final deal with him with the time he's going to appear on Skype. So we are a bit unsure about that at the moment, but we hope we will have him instead of Clark McClendon.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of health concerns out there. It seems like there's a lot of people working in this field because of all the nonsense going on with the people trying to stop him from speaking, but hopefully that's not the case with him. But definitely there's a lot of challenges that come with this kind of work.
That's true.
I was really interested in this Mission Rama. Can you talk a little bit about your involvement with Mission Rama? Because I've talked to them over Skype and over the phone, and they've been extremely interested in East SETI.
Yes, the thing is that I know quite a few Mission Rama members. It was Renato Longato. He was at the conference, an early conference we had as a speaker.
Yes.
Last year we had Luis Fernando Mustayo Martins, who's also a Mission Rama member. And I also had some contact with what we had planned of having Sixto Pazvels, but he had to cancel his engagement with us this year for private reasons.
Yeah, so, I know he has a lot of trouble traveling because they seem to try to keep him out of different countries, you know.
Yes, he was not permitted to come to the U.S. for a long time, but I see him appearing in L.A. and then in the U.S. now lately, so that has changed.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's good. I know Renato Longato was here and at the ranch, and he got some amazing footage, actually, with my camera. I gave him my camera. And I told him to go ahead and film whatever he wanted, and he got some incredible footage of all the people screaming and hollering when the ships came in, and got the really good footage of the ships as well. So he's been to the ranch and had some great experiences here.
I see. Mm.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I tell you what's interesting is that George Van Tassel. I was actually raised in that area, Apple Valley, California, right next to Giant Rock, and I noticed that you're involved in his work as well. And as a kid, we used to see these ships flying around, you know, the ships that he was talking about, and also they're actually building a ship there. Ralph Ring talks a lot about it. I think it's Otis Carr. They were working on building a ship there, right in, I think it was Hesperia, right, pretty close. That's right next door to Apple Valley, and they're flying ships around. There's some of their ships around, too, until the FBI shut them down. But a lot of activity in that area.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. Yeah, Van Tassel, his space runs in 1952 warned the U.S. Through him, Van Tassel, not to develop the hydrogen bomb. And they did a great flyover in Washington, D.C. as a demonstration against the U.S. Plans of blowing up the hydrogen bomb or developing this bomb. So, yes.
Mm. Yeah, there was a lot of activity there. We were just there recently at a big conference there at the Joshua Tree called Contact in the Desert. And we go out to Giant Rock, and a lot of people don't realize a little bit past Giant Rock, there's a giant crystal mountain, and the whole mountain is made out of crystal. And we went there to do some work and kind of release some of the spirits there that were still hanging around, and in the process, we basically got beamed up. We had two ships in front of us, one overhead and one in front of us, and there's a woman that took time-lapse photography, set her camera down. It was just taking random pictures, and you can actually see the event happen. And when we returned, we were totally through. You could see right through us. Our bodies weren't totally physical. But I'll be showing that at your conference. I'll be showing the sequence of events and the photographs at your conference.
Fine. That will be very interesting. Sure. Great. Hmm. Fine.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to find out more about what got you into UFOs. It looks like at 17 years old you started getting into the subject.
It's quite a strange story because as a kid I started to was as a small boy I was interested in birds and everything that moved in the air. It started with birds, and then it went to model airplanes. And it was about 10, 11, and then ordinary airplanes, when I was 12, 13. And then, mm-hmm. as a natural development, I began searching for UFO literature when I was 16, about 70. So that's something that's been with me all the time, like just a natural development from this oddities flying in the air.
Did you have any contacts that you were aware of, like at an early age or you know, out-of-body experiences or things of that nature?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm thinking of taking this session with Mary Rodwell at the conference, if I had the time to do that, to see mm-hmm. what she can find out. But it seems like always it's something that's always been with me, this interest in extraterrestrial issues and UFOs.
Yeah, we've had, Mary's been here at the ranch a couple of times, and we've had Barbara Lamb here as well, and she did some regressions on my brother. I didn't have time to do regressions, but my brother and I had repeated experiences when we were kids, and pretty interesting information came out, you know, with my brother.
I see. Was he aware of his experiences as a kid, or just found out through Mary?
Well, we were both aware of our experiences, but not aware of any details of what happened. We knew something happened, and it happened several times, and we weren't sure. I looked into it myself on the inner level, and I got, it was a really good thing. It was a positive experience. And I'm still in contact with those same beings today, so I didn't really go under hypnosis. My brother did, and he came out of it, and he said it was a really positive thing. So he went back into it and relived it. And he said basically they're just checking up on us and, you know, making sure our health was in good order and things of that nature.
Okay. Very interesting.
So you did the aviation thing. And then what happened after that? It seems like something must have really triggered your interest a little stronger in the UFO phenomena.
Well, I've always been interested in alternative things, some yoga and, alternative medicine. Quite early also started with homeopathy. And I've been practicing that for 35 years now as a professional mm-hmm. homeopath. So it's just, I just wanted to find out something more. I went to the library and I found one book called UFOs Over Norway. That was the only book that the library had at that time in the 70s. Of course, I borrowed that book and read it. And and then also always been interested in reading more, but and knowing more about UFOs and extraterrestrials. But the real change started when I left Share International in 2010, 11, and delved into the extraterrestrial issues and started in 2012 arranging two UFO conferences together with my girlfriend in Bergen, Norway. And then we had one in 2014 and now this one. This is the fourth one we are arranging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know your research has probably put you in contact with all kinds of people, especially through the conferences. I'm wondering what you've gleaned from them. What kind of information concerning the different types of groups or what their intentions are? I'd love to hear your take on that.
The different visiting extraterrestrial groups.
Yes.
My great interest in this issue is the space brothers, those who are here helping a planet that's under development, and they do it as a service. Like you become a more service-oriented person when you get contact with your own soul and get more less interested in your own personal affairs and more interested in contributing with something and doing something good for the world that was not more unselfish, spiritual way. And they are doing this, and they are helping us without infringing our free will, without trying to control us in some way. So it's very limited what they can do without our our knowledge and our consent. But they do some cleanup, quite a lot of cleanup of the pollution that we have, radioactive pollution, and also chemtrail. Is contributing with this heavy metal pollution. And another project, which I cannot disclose any information about, because I promised people that are coming to the conference that they will hear this information there, and nobody has heard about this. It's another project they have here, which has not been anything anybody has spoken of, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
So at the conference.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of work here on the grid, on the consciousness grid, and cleaning up.
We
call it the Archon network. You know, the negative ETs and things like that are the just the souls that have, the dark hearts, were the ones that have chosen selfish programs and things of that nature. But we're having a lot of different groups here, a lot of different contacts here. And most of it's benevolent, and there's a lot of protection that comes with that. And, you know, we're having all the way up to ninth dimensional beings appearing here now and then. But I'm wondering, a lot of people want to focus on the negative and, you know, the negative aspects of it, and that seems to be getting all the press. I'm wondering what your take is on that.
Yeah, it's a very bad and unfortunate thing. And I also think that that has been done deliberately by the film industry, Hollywood, and the powers that be that wants to keep this away from the public, the knowledge about extraterrestrial visitations, to make them all negative and coming here to invade us and horror stories like that. Well, there may be a small percentage of extraterrestrials that are negative, but most of them are positive. Some are just passing by, observing us. Some are actively engaged in helping us, like I went into.
Yeah, it is sad. There's talk here, and there's actually numbers that have come up, like, you know, billions of dollars have been spent to promote a negative agenda, to keep people in fear, and, you know, to keep the people turning their power over to, you know, certain agencies to protect them and things like that. But you know,
yeah,
and
that's correct.
Keep pushing that program, and Carol Rosen has talked a lot about that they do have an agenda in the future to actually stage a false ET invasion. You know, so again, everybody will be in fear and turn all their power over to, you know, the government, so to speak. You know, I don't think they're going to pull that off. I don't think there's any way they can pull that one off, because too many people know about our own secret space fleet, and there's too many people in the secret space fleet that have had enough with the Illuminati and the New World Order boys. So I really don't see that happening. I think they'd be totally foolish to try to pull that one off. How do you feel about that?
Yes. The thing is that most people, maybe not most, but a lot of people's perceptions of the reality is formed by the mainstream media. So as long as they buy into all this stuff, the propaganda and brainwashing that goes on there, you don't really know. You are kept in the dark. I think it's more and more people are waking up and understanding how things really are, and it makes it harder for every day that goes to push the negative agenda and this invasion agenda, because more and more people start to understand how the real situation is.
Yeah, it seems like all they need is a couple well-known newscasters to come on the air and start talking about an invasion, and everybody would just fall into that program. But I think enough people out there now would just be flooding the internet with nonsense, you know, talking about what nonsense that is, that I think it would probably backfire more than likely. I don't think they can pull this one off.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Some of the positive groups. Can you talk about the different groups that your research has brought you to, like the Pleiadians, Andromedans, or some of the other groups that are coming in?
Well, my biggest interest is in the human looking extraterrestrials. Those who looks like us. And maybe a bit shorter, some are maybe only 50 centimeters, some are 2.5-3 meters, but they are similar in appearance to us. Some can walk among us and maybe mingle, stay among us unnoticed.
Yeah.
And like this friendship case in Italy. And the Mission Rama guys from Alpha Centauri, and also a lot of other places. They are coming from various planets. This big helping project for this planet. But what's more interesting for me is what they can contribute with, and how they can elevate and help our development consciousness-wise, because they see that we have big problems because we are too little advanced spiritually, and we have too many very, very advanced weapons and dangerous weapon systems like atomic bombs and things like that.
So
to help us advance spiritually and make this gap between our spiritual development and technological development smaller, that's what we can. The contribution is what's important. Not so much interested in or concerned about how they look, if they're smaller but also bigger or the same size, or maybe they look a bit different. Some of these groups also not human looking. They will, I'm sure, some of them maybe look like they grace, but that's a lot of extraterrestrial individuals can have this appearance without being negative.
Mm-hmm.
With this big head and small lips. So.
Yeah, it seems like that.
We have a stereotype way of thinking about extraterrestrials. We only think about this, the race with this almond eyes and big heads. Like that's an extraterrestrial. That's a Hollywood movie.
But you see the dolls. You know, the images, the stickers, the blow up doll, all those things. Everything is a gray. You know, it shows the gray with the almond eyes. You know, it's like, and you just don't see anything like a Pleiadian, you know, or in a jumpsuit you don't see the dolls or anything made of the positive ones. I know that they have some out there, but the vast majority of them are almost always either looking like some kind of a squid or gray and something foreboding. Basically, that's all they have. But I'm sure that's an agenda behind that, you know, to promote that. Some of the contacts we've had here, I had one being show up here wearing robes, and he had a head just like the movie E.T. I mean, it was just like the movie almost, his head, and I actually got a photograph of him. Really interesting group. Well, the problem with that is most people will go into fear or flight or fight and run, or fall down and worship them, one or the other, which is exactly what they don't want. We've got to master that. We've got to master our fears and learn how to communicate with these beings and trust our own inner sensitivity as to what their intent is, or we're just not going to have contact, you know, unless it's going to be something that looks, usually it's a woman that looks just like us, the first contact, because people do have those built-in fears and fight responses.
Yes. They often send a woman when they approach and contact person, because we are then they make us less fearful than a man also. even if they look like us.
I mean, that's what happened with me. That for my first contacts were female, and they're just beautiful women, both energetically and physically as well. And, you know, there was definitely no resistance, you know, to those experiences. And then little by little, they started introducing me to, you know, other beings and moving up the vibrational continuum. I kept meeting, you know, all these different types of beings from different dimensions, and it's been quite a journey, you know, to just even to kind of even catalog all the different types of beings and you know, why they're here and what they're up to.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well,
you have a lot of activity over there in Norway. I know the Norway lights. Have you investigated that phenomenon?
We have a similar area where we live. We often see extraterrestrial activity here, and we also have black helicopters here following the activity. It's a similar area. It's a portal area, just a few kilometers from where we live here, and which is similar to the famous Hestal, which is another much larger area, more famous area further north, near third largest city in Norway called Trondheim. Which Hestal is quite close to where the conference is going to take place now at Stiklestad. That's a bit further north of Trondheim. And the Hestal portal area, which is the most famous area in Norway, is a bit south of Trondheim.
Now, has anybody had actual, you know, visitations, you know, beyond just seeing the ships and the lights appear there?
And anybody here?
Yeah, over there in Norway. Have they actually had the beings appear to them?
There has been a being appearing here. To my girlfriend, and actually she has had a lot of unfortunate contacts with negative extraterrestrials and had this been an abductee, but she also had this as a help for her. She has also been contacted by positive extraterrestrials helping her, and one appeared here in this room where I am now. I wasn't there at that time. Because
yeah, they seem to come together.
Calm down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I found out is there's a lot of people that have had, you know, negative experiences with ETs, but once they connect with the positive ones and stand in their own self-authority and learn a few tools, you know, that goes away, and the positive ones end up taking care of it. You know, they end up moving these other beings out. And once we have a contact with them and learn how to invoke them and ask them for help, it takes care of the negative contacts.
Yes. I think that's a very important point, because the free will, you have to ask for help. They don't infringe your free will. If we want to have help, we have to ask for it. And it must be according to in accordance with our free will. It's very, very important.
Yeah, I think initiation, you know, everybody wants all the ships to just come down and fix everything and show up to everybody and prove that they're here. But they don't realize that totally goes against, you know, the whatever you call it, the prime directive or non-interference policy that they have. And so it is important that, as a group, you know, that we start asking for help and that we initiate the help, and they do have the technology to turn the planet around and you know, clean up all the pollution and everything. But, you know, I don't know why, but people think it's their job to just come here and clean up our mess while we just keep making more of the mess. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It's our responsibility to clean up our own mess, but we can get some help and assistance. If we want to have it and know about it. The thing is that there's also another interesting law called the law of correspondences. That is that the more country informs its inhabitants, informs its the public about extraterrestrial visitations, the more they can show themselves, and the more the lid is on, and the more people are kept in the dark and no information in the media, the more they have to stay in the background. And Mexico is a typical example of that, because when they started to tell people what's happened with extraterrestrial visitation in 2004, the flotillas of ships came over a few months after that over big cities in Mexico. So they
have
much about it, informing the people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have a clip of footage over Guadalajara, and boy, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of ships flying over Mexico, and I go down to Mexico almost every year and work with the Huichols down there, the Native American tribes down there, and do lectures, and the proceeds go to, you know, feed the families there and things like that. But, you know, I talk to them about it, and they, you know, down in Mexico, it's just accepted. You know, they just accept that UFOs are real and they're part of their culture, where over in the United States, it's heavily censored, and, you know, they have the giggle effect and try to make you look like you're an idiot because, you know, you believe in the the abundance of life out there in the cosmos.
Well, that's the way they have done it, to keep the lid on.
Yeah.
To ridicule. Mm.
Well, people always ask me why would they cover that up? They just can't believe that the government would actually be involved in that big of a cover up, and they don't understand why. And I told them, I said, well, let's say a ship comes down here and they have free energy. What's that going to do to the oil companies? You know, the mega corporations. It's going to put them out of business. You know, what if they have the ability to cure most diseases, you know, electronically or energetically, then now you've got the pharmaceutical companies, you know, out of business. And what if our weapons became obsolete, you know, and they, you know, were peaceful, then the war industry would be out of business. And I said, it's all about business. It's all about the war and disease profiteers and running things. And until we take care of that and get rid of this program, you know, we're going to have trouble bringing this information out and really having contact with these beings on a mass scale.
That's true. It's protecting and upholding the status quo and keeping this out of people's minds. That's been a major work of the intelligence agencies, not only mostly in the U.S., but also in many other countries.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. To me, it doesn't make any sense because, I mean, all these agencies, including the military, their mandate is to, you know, protect and serve, you know, to do what's in the highest and best good of the people. But instead, they actually became the brute squad for the corporations, and they've totally forgot their mandate, you know, or what they were created to do. And hopefully that's going to turn around. I think there are some really good people, both in the military and the agencies, that are starting to figure things out and realize that it's not in our highest and best good to take the path that you know, the banksters and the elite have chosen for us to take. And, you know, it's time to turn this planet around because it's not sustainable. You know, the path they're taking us on is totally unsustainable.
That's correct. Yeah, I think we are about to see a lot of changes, and I think also there'll be a financial crash. It's most probably during this autumn, this in September, October, this will really be a game changer.
Yeah, I see. There's a possibility that there could be a transition there. And it doesn't have to be a financial crash, but a lot of it depends on how hard, you know, the dark arts, you know, want to maintain control over this mess. But you know, so far they've not relinquished control, you know, to the positive, and have wanted to take their program down that dark road. But I think eventually people are going to wake up and just say, hey, wait a second, we're not going to take that path. And then enough people wake up and see what's going on, you know, they can actually push the leadership to, you know, go in the right direction.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like humanity here over in the United States are the most illiterate as far as what's really happening on the planet. And if you go and you get your news from other countries, you'll really get the truth of what's going on in the world.
Yes, I think it also that the worst thing that keeps people's conscience down is watching television. And the more you watch television, the less you understand, the less you know, the more zombifying the brain, keep you on a low level. It's a very something that people should stop doing, really, and really to find out what's going on.
I agree. I threw my TV set out the window, I think, in the early 70s. Instead of watching TV here, what we do is we set up chairs. For over 30 years, we've been doing this, and we put chairs out in the field, and we watch ships at night and stare into the vast universe, and that really expands your consciousness, and it's a whole different program. But you watch the television set, just the energy coming off that TV and the vibes and the information is actually sickening once you reach a certain level of consciousness. You can't even be around it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm.
I think people need to take an extended vacation out in nature away from their TV, and just stare at the night skies and get out in nature as much as they can, and then go back and look at their TV set again and see what it feels like from.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Mm. Sure.
Yeah, I use this example. I had to get some tires on my car. So I went down to our local tire dealer, and they had a big widescreen TV up there. And I walked in there, and I sat there, and I grabbed some of their popcorns, probably GMO. I don't know what it is. Probably shouldn't have eaten that either. But I looked up at the screen, and I just say, all it was like, you should be very scared. It's orange alert today. The terrorists could be anywhere. They could show up anywhere. And then they just show all these cases of bombings and murders. And that was all that was coming over the screen. And I just sat there looking at that for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I started getting ill watching it. And I just, my God, I go, people are entrained on this TV for, some people all day long, they have one running. The information and the energy coming out of that box is extremely detrimental to your consciousness and your physical health as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mm.
Maybe. Yeah, I think... I don't know what can change out of that. I know they could change the frequencies and put out positive TV specials and things of that nature, but I don't know how that's going to come about or when. I know there is some progressive programming, like Gaiam TV and some of the other ones that are actually putting some information out there that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm. Yeah, there are some few exemptions. Hmm.
Yeah. Now, over there, do they have, I don't know what the TV is like over there. Is it pretty much government controlled, or do they have more uplifting, more like natural events, things of that nature?
Well, most people watch a lot of different TV channels there, and many of international U.S. channels, and we have one channel that's more like governmental, owned by the government. Mm. Mm. So, but they have occasionally some great program. In fact, they were at the farm here last year and wanted to make some footage of the activity we have here, extraterrestrial activity. But they came in the weekend when there was very bad weather.
Oh, yeah.
So they chose the wrong, and it must be not rain all the time, more clear sky. And so they didn't see anything, but they made an interview, and yeah.
So, yeah, we've been real lucky here because the groups that have all come here, we have so much activity, they always get some really good footage. But the problem is once they get the footage, when it gets to the back to the studio, you know, they cut it. And they cut all the undeniable footage, the really good stuff, and then they put some more mundane stuff and then keep it, you know, they keep it up in the air. Well, are there UFOs? Well, we'll see. You know, it's inconclusive or whatever else. When, you know, we have ships landing on the mountain and morphing into three or four and back to one again, you know, things of that nature, you know, on film. And they don't show any of that. They just show a light, like a green light flying over the overhead. You know, they won't show it making turns or right angles or anything. They every time they sanitize it and they cut out the good footage.
That's a very bad thing to do, but that's the way they keep it on a low level.
But I know just by putting it out there, though, it does spark people's interest, and then a lot of people do go to our website, and then they get to see the good footage, you know, the real footage. So that's that's a good thing, anyway. They always say any press is good press, you know. it'd be nice. I know Paranormal State came out here, and we did tell them exactly when and where the ships would appear, and they did, and they actually caught it on film, and they covered that. They actually put it in the investigation, which was nice, you know, that was the first group I saw that came out here that actually did respect, you know, what was going on here and it did show the footage, you know, the really good footage that they captured.
Okay, fine.
But okay. So the Norway lights over there, I've seen some footage of them. They definitely look like, you know, some type of light ship zipping around the hills there. Do you think there's some kind of an underground base there or Stargate or something similar to that going on?
I think it seems like it functions the way that it's portal areas where extraterrestrial crafts chose to enter our world. Maybe it's because the magnetic lines supports are stronger or weaker or special properties. So they go in from their dimensions into our world. And we see a lot of activity here in a very small area. And some quite good footage that I've taken here that I could send you some. That's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's about 23,000 hits, though, one of the better. So that was taken almost in almost full daylight a couple of years ago.
Great. Yeah, we have the same thing here. They call it a Stargate here. And we had Mel Fabregas with Veritas Radio came to the ranch. And what was interesting is we did a counseling work, did some counseling with him and connecting him with his own main teacher and guide, which was part of the Orion Council of Light. And he actually got the name of his guide. But now the funny thing about it is he went over to Sedona after this and met with some women who were also contactees that were working on a very high level. And they turned around and they gave him the name of his guide and they said, you met her at the East Eddy Stargate. You know?
Okay.
we didn't even know who these people are. I still don't know who they are, the group of women. I'm still trying to find out who they are that brought that information out. But you know, it totally blew his mind, you know, when they came up with the same name. And then they also told him that he met them here at the East Eddy Stargate, which verifies that this is a Stargate.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot of those synchronicities that happen here that kind of keep us going.
I see.
Otherwise, you think you're crazy, you know. With there's so many strange things that happen here, and you think you're losing it, you know. But luckily, we have a lot of evidence to back it up, and you know, a lot of literally thousands of witnesses. I don't need more like tens of thousands of witnesses have been to the ranch and seen the ships.
Yes, yes. I just wonder. Are you familiar with the Umu case, the civilization from the planet Umu that came here in the, landed in the French Alps in the 50s and sent all these letters to professors and scientists around the world? They have sent thousands of letters in many different languages with very advanced information, to mostly scientific information.
I've heard of that. I would love to see some of those letters. I'm sure they've been confiscated and locked away, most likely.
Well, they have, over the last 15 years, more than 1,400 letters have been mysteriously conveyed to people throughout the world. There's a man called Roger Dinocla. His real name is Roger Alcon, but that's Roger Dinocla. And he's the world's most foremost expert on the Umu case. And he has also deciphered their language and has a lot of very interesting information about this civilization, which he has also presented in French and also translated into English in his books, Presence 1, 2, and 3,
What was his name and the name of his books again?
The name is Presence 1 and 2, and then they have been originally written in French, but they have been translated into English. And he is dinocla.com, his website. You can find the English translation, and cost a few dollars to buy and download as an ebook. Very interesting information. He is going to have a two-hour lecture at the conference.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'd like to hear more about that. I know there's been so much contact, and it's been withheld from the people, and they've been trying very hard to steer us in the right direction to, you know, clean up our environment and our consciousness, and it goes unheeded because I think the people they've been giving this information to are unconscious, and you know, they lack that integrity or impeccable integrity it's going to take to, you know, to get this information out.
Yes.
Yeah, I wonder when we're going to have a leader stand up and just say, look, this is what's going on. You know, the planet's a mess. You know, they have the technology to help us clean it up, and we can't do business as usual anymore. You know, that guy would get my vote immediately.
Sure. I think when the masters of all spiritual hierarchy, the world teacher Maitreya and the other masters of wisdom that's coming with him into the world as our guides and helpers for the new age, they also have close contact with these extraterrestrial groups that are here also to help us evolve consciousness, help us improve our level of consciousness and make us more spiritually advanced. So he will point out this disconnection and be a spokesman for the extraterrestrials. He is going to be interviewed. He's been interviewed on a lot of TV stations, but he's not using his own name or telling who he is. Interviewed over 100 times around the world already.
I know there's definitely a spiritual connection that people don't realize. I know a lot of people come up just to see the ships here, and we tell them, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, if you really want to know what's going on, you have to develop yourself spiritually and develop your own telepathy and open your heart. And we always tell people it takes, you know, a pure intent, an open mind, a loving heart to make contact, and that once we do that, they'll find you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You have to reach, develop yourself, the consciousness that makes the gap between you and them smaller, and then much more easy to approach you. And you have much, and the person that has more developed consciousness will have much less fear also with when meeting an unfamiliar person, that meeting a person that he realizes is not from this planet.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of sad right now. I always tell people, you know, they come up here, you know, they have their PhDs and they think they're experts, And I tell them, I said, well, do they teach UFO at your university? they go, what? And I said, they actually teach they don't exist. So how does your PhD fit into this, you know, this program here? But then they start demanding proof and demanding that this and demanding that. And they don't realize that it's not between me and them. It's between them and the UFOs. And they have to come at it with a different approach. And if they come at it with arrogance and demand, they're not going to experience anything. But, you know, again, if they have pure intent and open their minds and hearts, they're going to have some amazing experiences here.
That's true. Because these extraterrestrials are so advanced with that technology, they can scan us conscious, that they can know each person's attitude, if they're negative, positive, how open they are, they know everything about each person that's here. So it's not like a person just looks up on a random day and just see a ship. It's a process that they initiate and they have control over, and they adjust what they people see to what the person is ready for.
Yeah, they've proven that here. They've actually were on the mountain and sending out this massive light on the mountain, and we had about 10 of us in a row, and they were showing how they could block out the people on the left side of the group and not let them see the light, and then they would open it up to the people in the middle of the group would see it, and then the people on the right side would see it, and they were doing this repeatedly, showing that they had control of who saw them and who didn't.
Yes, that's a very perfect example. Yes.
It brought me to the understanding that, you know, if they have control over who sees them and who doesn't see them, you know, it's not up to them to, you know, to prove it to us. It's up to us to be to rise in consciousness and to start working with them, you know, in a positive manner, and then they'll show themselves to you. And that's just the way of the universe. It's the way it works.
That's true. That's perfectly right. Correct. Mm. Yes, you got a good example there. Mm. Great example. Mm.
I know the you've got a lot of pop name speakers there. We're coming up. We're getting close to the end of the hour here, so we'll be having to sign off here pretty quick. But I was wondering what's the best way for people to find out more about your conference?
Well, they can go to the website, the UFO-conference. It's in Norwegian, and it's not C, it's K, conference.com. And they can find out, we have an English section at the website also, so people can find out about the lecturers and practical issues, how to come here and travel here to Norway and to the conference item. I don't think that people need to know. Like accommodation.
Yeah. We have it up on our site too. Also. Yeah. So if people want to go to find out more about this conference, they can go to privateinvitationeseti.com as well. And go to our website. We have a link up there to give you the times and dates and all the information on the conference.
Fine. That sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, unfortunately we're at the end of the hour, so I've got to close out here, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and keep up the great work, you know, keeping these conferences
thank
going,
you.
And I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Yeah, same to you. Keep up the good work, and yeah, see you soon.
All right, have a good day.
Same to you. Bye-bye, James.
All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, and again, you know, keep your intent pure, keep an open mind, loving heart, and you're going to see some amazing things in the days to come. Good night.